بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Allah and thank Him for all the blessings that He endowed upon us, without Allah being obligated to give anything. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, the final and the choicest Prophet, and to protect his followers from what he feared for them. In our last class, we mentioned an important battle that took place between the Muslims and the Persians, the Battle of Nahawand. And we said that the Muslims scored a decisive victory, and this also enabled the Muslims to go more and acquire more of the Persian land. We continue, inshallah. The author said, in the year 23 Hijri, Umar radiallahu anhu, the second caliph, the man that we have been talking about for some time, made his last Hajj in the year 23 Hijri. Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah raise his rank, performed his last pilgrimage. After he did a rami, after he threw the pebbles in Mina, Umar lay down. Then he sat up and raised his hands in supplication. Umar radiallahu anhu said, اللهم كبرت سني وضعفت قوتي وانتشرت رعيتي فاقبضني إليك غير مضيع ولا مفرط. So he said, Oh Allah, I grew old. He is about 63 years old now. I grew old and my strength weakened. My subjects are spread out. The Muslim land now is much bigger. I ask you to make me die in a good condition, without having fallen short in carrying out my duties. O Allah, in obedience to you, grant me martyrdom in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Umar asked to be a martyr in the city of the Prophet, the people around him asked him, how can that be when the battlefields are far from Medina? They are in Iraq, in Persia, away from Al-Madinah. How could you become a martyr? You ask for martyrdom when you are that far from the battlefield. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, if Allah willed it, it shall happen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things, and they say may seem to be unlikely to happen, and you never know when such things would be fulfilled for us by Allah. So Umar knows that Allah is generous. He knows that Allah knows about him. And he asked Allah in confidence. He has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, O Allah, in obedience to me, to you, grant me martyrdom in the city of the Prophet. Less than 2 weeks passed, means less than 2 weeks after he asked Allah for martyrdom, Umar radiallahu anh was killed in Al-Madinah. A man from Nahawand, a Persian fire worshipper, named Abu Lu'lu'a, killed Umar. This man was a slave of a companion called Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. And Umar radiallahu anh had made a policy not to leave any non-Muslim in Al-Madinah. No blasphemer was allowed to enter Al-Madinah. However, Al-Mughira, this companion, asked Umar to make an exception for this man called Abu Lu'lu'a, because he had many skills, many crafts. He knew also he could be beneficial to the Muslims. He was a carpenter, he was a painter, and he had a third craft that I forgot now. So Umar made exception for this slave, this Zoroastrian, in Arabic we call him, he's a fire worshipper. So Umar made an exception and allowed Abu Lu'lu'a to be in Al-Madinah. After some time, this man Abu Lu'lu'a came to Umar complaining about Al-Mughira, his master, saying that his master Al-Mughira took a large portion of his earning, that somehow, according to him, his master was taking most of what he earned. When Umar looked into the matter, Umar found that it was not true, that his complaint has no foundation. So Umar did not respond to his complaint. His grievance was baseless. When this happened, when Abu Lu'lu'a did not get what he wanted, Abu Lu'lu'a, he developed a deep hatred for our master Umar. He had this, you know, hatred in his heart for Umar radiallahu anhu. He had that malice now. So one day, Abu Lu'lu'a turned up when Umar was going out for Fajr prayer. He had concealed a two-headed dagger, so has two blades. He approached the Honorable Umar radiallahu anhu and he stabbed him 6 times. The most severe stab was the one under his navel. He stabbed him different parts of his body, but one of the stabs was under the belly button. And this was the one that caused the death of Umar radiallahu anhu. So, of course, people were surprised. They were ready to pray. They were surprised by that attack. So when they noticed, they tried to prevent Abu Lu'lu'a from doing what he was doing. While they were trying to stop him, he killed 6 other people. And Umar fell to the ground and asked, because it's prayer time, he asked, "Is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf present? Is he among you?" The people said yes. Umar said, "Let him lead the Fajr prayer. Let him lead the Fajr prayer." With Umar lying on the ground, with Umar lying in that situation on the ground, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf made the prayer short. Means he led the people, the Muslims, in prayer, but he shortened it. He didn't read for a long time because of the situation at hand. So after the prayer, people carried our master Umar to his house. Umar could still talk. He made many good statements and directives to the Muslims before he died. We're not going to mention them all. But some of what he said, Umar said, I left among you, O Muslims, six people with whom the Messenger of Allah died pleased. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he died, he was pleased with those six people. And they are, I left them among you. These six men were Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam, Talhatul Khair, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Remember, those are six out of the ten whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave the good news they would be in paradise. You have the four caliphs and six more. And if you count them, Uthman, of course Abu Bakr had died, so he's not one of those mentioned. Umar, of course, he's dying, so he's the one who is saying six. So you have two out of ten, that's eight. So he's mentioning what? Six of them. So Uthman, Ali, Al-Zubayr, Talha, Sa'd, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Who's missing? Two more, isn't it? One of them was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and he already had died. That's the commander of the Muslims in the fight against the Romans that took place in Sira, in Al-Yarmouk, for example. So he already had died during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was not alive at the time. And the one that he did not mention on purpose was Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Sa'id ibn Zayd was a relative of Umar. So he made sure that he does not have him among the six that would be choosing the caliph. So that favoritism would not be mentioned at all. He's mentioning one of his relatives. So on purpose, he did not include him in the six. Although, he was one of the best companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Umar was, you know, very careful about this matter. So Umar instructed those six men to meet and to choose one amongst them to be the next caliph. Umar talked to his son Abdullah. He told him, if there was a dispute, means who is going to be the caliph, they should line up with the majority. You have six people, maybe four would say X, two would say Y. So if there was some dispute about who would be the next caliph, then take the majority side. If they are equal, means three want X and three want Y, so they're equal, then they should go with what Abdul Rahman ibn Auf wanted. So if Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is one of those three, and other three want to choose someone else, he's telling him the prescription is, take what the man that Abdul Rahman's group chose. And he told him to have Abu Talha al-Ansari guard the door and not let anyone enter until they had chosen the next caliph. So these six people will meet in one place, so they're not to be bothered by anyone, interrupted, etc. So let Abu Talha al-Ansari stand at the door and let nobody come in. Abu Talha is the man that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stayed at when he immigrated to Al-Madinah, before he had his own house and the masjid was built. So he was the guest of Abu Talha al-Ansari at the beginning of the hijrah, of the immigration. Umar gave the next caliph advice to be good to the Ansar. So he also gave a directive. He said, I command, or I recommend, that the next caliph be nice and good in dealing with Al-Ansar, the supporters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, after he took care of all these important matters, Umar asked his son, Abdullah, "See who hit me, who the one who stabbed me." Abdullah told him, "O commander of the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Lu'lu'ah, al-Mughira's slave, was the one who hit you." Umar said, "Praise to Allah, who did not make my death by a man, at the hands of a man, who made one sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise to God that he did not make my death at the hand of a Muslim." He would be very sad that a Muslim killed him and then he committed that enormous sin of killing another Muslim. So he was happy that it was a non-Muslim who did such a great crime, an ugly crime. So he said, "Praise be to Allah who did not make my death at the hand of a man who made one sajda, one prostration to God." Then he said, "Go to Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, and ask her permission that I be buried in her chamber, in her room, next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." You know, when the Prophet died, the bed where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep with his wife Aisha in her chambers was removed, and then a grave was dug for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar wanted her permission to be buried there. And you know, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, her father, was buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that spot. So Umar asked his son to go seek the permission of Aisha to be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said to Umar to Abdullah when he asked, "I had wanted that place, but today I choose Umar over myself." Uthir Umar ala nafsi. Abdullah went back to Umar and told him, Umar praised Allah, he was very happy. A doctor came, was called, he examined Umar and he said, "Leave a will, you are dying. It's clear that the stabs are serious." Umar radiallahu anh died on the night of Wednesday, 3 or 4 nights before the end of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Remember, Umar was made Hajj, his last Hajj. Which month is the month of Hajj? Dhul Hijjah, the last month of the year. So that's what the year 23, and then few nights after he performed his Hajj, his death came about at the end of the year 23, radiallahu anhu. His caliphate lasted about 10 years. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow great blessings upon Umar radiallahu anhu. So he died on the night of Wednesday, and you already know Islamically the night comes before the day. Today, for example, is Wednesday. So this is the night of Thursday, Islamically. Okay? But he died the night of Wednesday. So on Wednesday morning, people carried Umar's body out of his house, and Suhaib, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, led the funeral prayer for our master Umar. Then Umar was buried next to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, with his head at the level of Abu Bakr's shoulder. So the Prophet is buried, then the head of Abu Bakr is at the level of the Prophet's shoulder, then Umar's head is at the level of Abu Bakr's shoulder. So three next to each other. Radiallahu anhu wa an Abi Bakr wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa sallam. Is there any question about what I just said? Now, after burying Omar, the six men met together as they were supposed to do. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, remember the man whom Omar chose who to lead the prayer in his while he was injured. And he said, let us pick a representative to speak for us. It means we are six people. Let each one of us talk with someone to represent. So it will be reduced to what? To three. Instead of the six talking to each other, it makes it easier if three are talking together. So Az-Zubayr delegated Ali. Az-Zubayr said, I will let Ali speak for me. Sa'd said, I delegate Abdul Rahman. And Talha delegated Uthman radiallahu anhu. So we have now Ali, Abdul Rahman, and Uthman talking to each other. Abdul Rahman said he did not want this role. He doesn't want to be the caliph. So now the caliphate is between two people, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma. So Abdul Rahman asked, will you accept if I choose? Now you have two. He asked those two people, Uthman and Ali, will you accept if I choose the caliph between you two? They said, yes, we will accept. No problem. I mean, it's not, we don't want the chair and the office. Abdul Rahman asked Uthman, will you give me your word that if you rule, you will rule by the book of Allah and in the way of Abu Bakr and Umar, you will rule the Muslims according to what Al-Quran teaches and also in practice of Umar and Abu Bakr as they ruled the Muslims before? Uthman said, yes. Then Abdul Rahman met with Ali, so he met with Uthman alone. Then he met with Ali radiallahu anhu, and he asked him the same question, will you rule the Muslims according to the Quran and in the way of Abu Bakr and Umar? And Ali said, yes, as much as I can do so. As much as I can do so. Then Abdul Rahman convened all the people and said, so it's not something secret. Everybody needs to know the results of these meetings. Then Abdul Rahman convened all the people and said, you all agree to accept the man I chose, right? They said, yes, we agree. Then he addressed Uthman and he said, did I not meet with you and ask if you would rule by the Quran, by the Sunnah, and then he asked Ali the same question, then I meet with you and I asked you this, would be, you know, would you rule by the Quran and the Sunnah of Abu Bakr and Umar? And then you said to me, yes, as much as I can do. So, and both Uthman, they said, yes, you met with us and that's what you asked us and that was answered. And Ali also said the same thing. Then Abdul Rahman asked Uthman to step forward. And he told him, you are the caliph. And then he paid allegiance to him. And then Ali came and paid allegiance to Uthman. And all the Sahaba paid allegiance to Uthman radiallahu anhu. By this, Uthman became the third caliph among the Muslims. Now, before we start talking about Uthman radiallahu anhu, there are many things that can be said about the honorable life of Prophet of our Master Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah raise his rank. We're not going to mention them all. We're going to mention few of these good, you know, glowing things about Umar radiallahu anhu. One of those is that one time our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some food in his hand. He placed it in the hand of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Means when the three of them were alive, okay? And food was heard in the hand of Abu Bakr saying, Subhanallah, which means praise be to Allah. Then the Prophet put the food in the hand of Umar. And then the food said also in the hand of Umar, Subhanallah. So this was, of course, a miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it shows the merits of Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah raise their rank. In his book, History of the Caliphs, Imam As-Suyuti mentioned 20 cases when Umar radiallahu anhu suggested a matter, after which Allah revealed to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that those matters were as Umar suggested. So As-Suyuti has a book called Tariq al-Khulafa. In this book, this Imam As-Suyuti mentioned 20 cases when Umar wanted something to happen, suggested that why wouldn't this thing take place? And after his suggestion, Allah revealed to the Prophet that this is the way they should be. And this, of course, shows how Umar was an inspired person to want certain things to happen and then the revelation to come down agreeing with what Umar had wanted. Of course, you know the revelation did not change because of Umar. It was going to be like that. But this is, that shows the high value, the high rank of Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, we're going to mention 5 of these cases, because 20 takes a long time, and this is a short account of the life of Umar. So we're going to mention 5 of those. 5 of those cases are in Al-Bukhari and Muslim Sahih. And Nawawi explanation of Muslim, of Sahih Muslim, and Al-Hakim in his book Al-Mustadrak. It means those cases are genuine cases, cases that are with high level of authenticity. They are in both books of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and also in the explanation by Al-Imam An-Nawawi of the book of Muslim, and in the book Al-Mustadrak by the great Imam Al-Hakim. The first of these 5 is that Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I wish we would pray in the vicinity of Maqam Ibrahim. I wish we would pray in the vicinity, means close to, the spot called Maqam Ibrahim. All of you may have looked at the picture of Al-Kaaba. Some of you, of course, were there. Alhamdulillah. But those who were not there, most probably you have must have seen a picture of Al-Kaaba, the cubical structure. And then you may have seen a semicircle, half a circle next to Al-Kaaba. And then next to this semicircle, there is something that looks like golden in color, like something with glass. Inside that glass, there are the footprints of Prophet Abraham, may Allah raise his rank. So that place is called Maqamu Ibrahim. So Umar radiallahu anhu wished for Muslims to be able to pray close to that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verse 125 of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. So Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that orders Muslims to pray in the vicinity of this spot called Maqam Ibrahim, where the footprints of Prophet Ibrahim were kept. So this is one case, the first case. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, the verse 125 in Surah Al-Baqarah. The second case is that Umar said, O Messenger of Allah, when you receive men in your house, in your home, some of these people are pious, some may not be pious. So Umar liked that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be covered from men, because these people come into the house of the Prophet. Where are the wives of the Prophet? The Prophet didn't have a mansion. It was one room for this wife, one room for this wife. So whenever, whatever the Prophet was, they're going to visit him in that chamber. So his wife is going to be there, that wife of that day. So Umar said that some of the visitors, of your visitors, O Messenger of Allah, are pious. They would not look. But others may not be. So he felt that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need to be protected from the looks of such people. So he wished that the Prophet's wives would be covered in the presence of such men, in the presence of men. So he asked the Prophet, he said, I wish that would happen. And then the 53rd verse of Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So verse 53 of Surah Al-Ahzab, فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابِ. That's part of the ayah, of course. It means if you want something from the wives of the Prophet, you have to ask them from behind a barrier, a curtain or something, not that you see them. And of course, the Prophet's wives were ordered specifically, not the wives, the Muslim women, just the wives of the Prophet, to cover all over the face and the hands, so all of their bodies. So that was what Umar wished to happen, and subhanallah, it happened. Third case was the issue of jealousy among the Prophet's wives. They were women, and then they felt jealous from each other, of each other. And Umar was disturbed by this. Umar's daughter was one of the wives of the Prophet. What was her name? Hafsa radiallahu anha. She memorized the whole Quran. So Abu Bakr and Umar talked with their daughters, because Abu Bakr had Aisha as the wife of the Prophet. Umar had Hafsa as the wife of the Prophet. So, and the jealousy was among the wives of the Prophet, but wasn't a sinful jealousy, but it was expressed. So Umar and Abu Bakr, being fathers-in-laws of the Prophet, they met and they talked with their daughters about it. Umar said, we may divorce you and Allah will replace you with better pious wives. Means if you bother the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of this jealousy, Allah, the Prophet may just give you divorce and Allah may replace you with other women who would be pious and not be bothering to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said a certain phrase, and then the verse number 5 of ayat of Surah Al-Tahrim came close to what he said. عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَوْ يُبَدِّلَهُ أَن يُبَدِّلَهُ أَوْ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنْ. مسلمات, مؤمنات, قانتات, تائبات, عابدات, and to the end of the ayah. So, عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُمْ. So the ayah number 5 of Surah Al-Tahrim came, you know, close to what Umar radiallahu anhu said. The fourth case was concerning the prisoners of war of the Battle of Badr. You remember that the Battle of Badr took place in the second Hijri year during the month of Ramadan on a Friday. And as a result of this battle, the Muslims managed to kill 70 of their enemy and capture 70 of their enemy. And that battle was decisive. It left a very big mark in the history of the Muslims. So now you have those 70 non-Muslims, prisoner of war. What should the Muslims do with them? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had received revelation that chose to choose between killing them or them paying ransom money. They pay money, then they get set free. Abu Bakr was of the opinion to set them free and get money from them. Umar said, no, let's kill them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the choice, this or that. He chose to accept the money, okay, to set them free after they paid money. After this was done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he should have chosen to have them killed, as Umar had suggested. So this was the fourth case that Umar, in which Umar wanted something and the revelation came in agreement with his wish. Again, in agreement with his wish means not as a result of his wish. The fifth case was the consumption of alcohol. You know, the Arabs before, in the era of ignorance, drinking alcohol was one of their features, means this is one of their main points and culture. But, you know, womanizing and drinking alcohol. Does it seem familiar nowadays? It's the same disease. So, Umar did not, the alcohol was not prohibited yet, drinking alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prohibition in three steps. First, Allah revealed that alcohol has benefit and harm, and the harm is more than the benefit. Benefit, for example, people sell it and get money. Okay? And of course, and Allah said it has harm, and the harm is more than the benefit. The next step, Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the believers should not perform prayer while drunk. لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون. You should not perform the prayer while you are drunk, so that you know what you're saying. Because one person was drunk, and then instead of praising Allah, he said something blasphemous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet that the believers must not be drunk when it's time to pray. Then at the end, Allah revealed that no more drinking of alcohol, not even one sip, not one drop, must be drunk. So no drop, nothing. It's prevented, it's prohibited until the day of judgment. So Umar saw what's happening with the Muslims, and he wished that drinking wine or alcohol would be prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the alcohol is prohibited until the day of judgment. In three different verses, three different places in Al-Quran, without me going into the details. But Allah revealed to the Prophet the ayah that made the alcohol prohibited. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجِسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. That alcohol, gambling, you know, having idols, okay, doing, throwing straws, you know, to decide what to do, is rijis, is dirt, is something which is filthy of the shaitan, of the devil's work. So you must avoid it. So you know, avoid alcohol, gambling, and so on. So this ayah in Al-Ma'idah, verse 90, came up with the prohibition, the final prohibition of alcohol. So those were the five cases in which the revelation came in agreement with the wishes of Umar radiallahu anhu. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also said that in every Prophet's nation there were inspired people. In every, he said, لكل نبي قوم محدثون ملهمون. In every Prophet's nation there were inspired people. Then he said, means when they say words, their words are true words. The Prophet said, in my nation, Umar is one of them. If there is one in my nation, it would be Umar. And this is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, next week, we'll say more about the life of our master Umar, radiallahu anhu. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم.